welcome to First Presbyterian Church this morning. We welcome to the pulpit today Dr. John McDonald, our interim pastor. John comes to us after serving as interim in Buena Vista, Virginia, and we are looking forward to his ministry among us and amongst the people in Danville for the time that he is here. I want to announce also that our sympathy and prayers go out to Dixie and Jean Hayes in the unexpected death of Dixie's sister-in-law in Loris, South Carolina. Her name was Carolyn Prince, and she was very supportive of Dixie when Dixie's son was killed in December. A third announcement for you today is that the church office will be closed July the 4th, that's Wednesday of this week. Another announcement for you is that the congregation is invited to join the deacons in collecting toiletry supplies, perhaps from your travels this summer in hotels, and contribute these to the lunch ministry patrons. There's no deadline, this is just a summer contribution. And an important announcement for today also is our congregational meeting immediately following worship service today. This congregational meeting is for the purpose of electing the pastor nominating committee, and the slate for this committee is printed in your bulletin. Responsive call to worship. Our souls wait for the Lord. Our souls wait. And in his word, we put our hope. Our souls wait for the Lord. Let us put our hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love. God will redeem us from all our sins. Let us worship God. Our first hymn of worship is number 564.
Thank you.
Join with me in the prayer of confession. Out of the depths, we cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear our voices. Let your ears be attentive to our cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of our sins, who could stand? But with you, there's forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared and respected. Help us as we reach out to you. Keep us directed in your way, grounded in your truth, and rejoicing in the life only you can bring. Amen. Let us pray our prayers of confession silently. Listen to the good news. Hope in God, for God's love has no ending. God fills us with grace and hope this day and forever.
God hears our voices and listens to our prayers, believing us all our sins. Thanks be to
Well, how's everybody doing today? You doing all right? I need a volunteer to help me with. All right. Boy, that was a loaded question right there. All right, James, could you do me a favor? Could you stand up for a second? All right, could you hold this hymn book? Is it very heavy? No, it's not very heavy at all, is it? Do me a favor. Hold it with one hand straight out and just keep it there, okay? No, just it's fine. It's not heavy. It's not heavy. Just hold it there.
My arm is hurting.
Your arm is hurting? How can your arm be hurting? It's not very heavy.
No, it hurts.
Oh, it does. So it's not how heavy it is, it's how long we hold it out there, right? That's how you get into trouble. Because it just keeps getting heavier and heavier. I want to read a passage this morning from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And it says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This book wasn't very heavy, was it? But when you hold it out like that, and for a long time, it starts to weigh down on you, doesn't it? It does. It starts to get heavy. And that's kind of like the things that we worry about or that we stress over. It's not how big they are, it's how long we hold on to them that really kind of do us in. And so Jesus tells us in this passage to let our burdens go, let all the things that we're worried about or that we're afraid of or that we're stressed over, give those to him and find rest in him. Let him carry those burdens. So I'm going to read that one more time. It says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's a good passage for us to remember all the time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day, and we thank you that you are a God that wants us to find rest in you. Help us to give our burdens to you and find that rest. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Together, let us pray the prayer for illumination. May the word of God spoken today compel us to worship without ceasing to the praise of Christ's glorious grace. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?
Thank you. first Sunday in the pulpit anywhere, you kind of have to, I have to make sure I'm at the right place. But we turn to the gospel lesson, and to do that we turn to the Gospel of John, the 19th, or the 20th chapter, verses 19 to 23. This takes place right after the resurrection, and so not a whole lot of people know that Jesus has risen. And the disciples are going through a transition. They're going through from this horrible week where they've seen their Lord betrayed and crucified, and now they hear this marvelous news, and what are they going to do with it? So we hear, beginning in the 20th chapter, beginning in the 19th verse, these words. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you have forgiven the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning. This being the first Sunday in the pulpit, you know, usually I'll say something to the effect of, I hope you enjoy the service, and if you have any questions about this congregation, you can ask me, and I'll be glad to give you information, but you all know better what's going on here than I do, and so don't ask me anything today. Fear is a relative term. For everybody has a different thing that they're afraid of. There was once this beautiful performer who was part of a vaudeville act where they would stand her up against this wooden background while her partner threw knives at her and hatchets and axes, and they're flying around and she's not flinching a bit. Well, all of a sudden, she faints. And she screams, and then she faints. And the crowd, of course, thinks the worst has happened. But they get her back to the room behind the stage, and she finally has to explain to them, "Well, I felt something crawling on my leg and discovered a spider. I am afraid of spiders." She could stand up there with the axes and the knives and all the rest of the stuff flying around, but a little old spider would throw. Same's true of roller coasters in my family. You can strap me into a roller coaster and I will go around and around, or corkscrew, or flip over. I love it. Put my sons in a roller coaster like that and they won't let you put them in a roller coaster like that. What are you afraid of? There are two groups of people that are hard to preach to. One is ministers. If a minister gets up in front of a bunch of ministers at a presbytery meeting or a Bible conference or at seminary especially, you look out on the people listening to you and you think to yourself, they're sitting there saying something like, "Well, why did he put that illustration where he put it?" Or, "I would have done it entirely different." Another group to preach that's intimidating sometimes to preach to is teachers. And as I was looking through the directory that you all are putting together, it seems as if every family in this church either has at least one educator, or a retired educator, or is related to an educator in some way. So it's a little intimidating to get up here this morning. Teachers are hard because you know that they're thinking, as you sit there preaching, well, he dangled that participle, or he changed tenses in the middle of the sentence, or who taught that man how to construct a sentence? As a side note, this is just kind of a little commercial this morning, the membership committee is doing a bang-up job putting together this directory, and I encourage anyone who has not turned in their information or their picture, please to do so, because it is an invaluable resource for a new interim pastor or for your new called pastor when that time comes. It helps to put names and faces together. But as intimidating as it is to speak to a room full of teachers, it is an honor and a privilege to begin serving you as your interim pastor. I look forward to getting to know as many of you as possible, even those of you who are not teachers. God called me these past few years to help congregations through the certainly uncertain time of transition between pastors, between one minister and another, that can sometimes cause anxiety and fear. And I can think of no better passages to instruct us how we should react to this anxiety than the ones we read this morning. One of the other reasons I enjoy reading through the information that the membership committee has been putting together is that it tells me so much more about you than just a group of numbers and statistics. It's wonderful that you can look in there and see where people used to work or are currently working. I love the part where you put down what your favorite scripture passages are. That's a wonderful kind of window into a person and where they are. There's so many wonderful, I read so many wonderful favorite passages. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. That one's one of my favorites. Another one of my favorites that I saw was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And the one passage that you will hear quite a bit from me, in fact, you are going to hear it every Sunday during the benediction, is the passage from Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God? When I began my ministry 31 years ago, I was looking through my grandmother McDonald's Bible. Now, I did not know my grandmother McDonald very well because she died when I was 3 years old. But I did know a few things about her. I knew that she was a devout churchgoer, that she loved to go to the Massanutta Springs Bible Conference and to other Bible conferences throughout the eastern United States. But looking through that Bible gave me kind of a window into her soul, into what she felt were especially meaningful passages. And the first one I turned to was Micah 6:8. It was underlined three times and starred twice. And I loved the passage because to me it is the summation of how we are to live the Christian life. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly, realizing that you are not the center of the universe, that you are not the savior of the world, that you are not the be-all and end-all of humanity. That is not our job. We are not in control. God is. And you know, it's a good thing. A world run by John McDonald would be a maleficent, malfunctioning mess where sports and politics and celebrity news and my own little narrow perspective on the world would so dominate the conversation that it would drown out things like justice and mercy and kindness to the extent that they would almost be forgotten. especially during times of transition. We get anxious. We fall back on our less honorable, our less Christ-like characteristics. We may be led to make poor decisions when faced with the process of seeking a new pastor, of living into a new vision for the ministry of First Presbyterian Church. If we only use our own limited vision, we can make some pretty poor decisions. Some other people that have made some pretty dire predictions, some very inaccurate ones from the past. One was Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM. In 1943, he said, "I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers." Or Popular Science magazine, a wonderful magazine in 1949, which made the prediction where calculators on the ENIAC is equipped with 18,000 vacuum tubes and weighs 30 tons, computers in the future may only have 1,000 vacuum tubes and weigh only 1.5 tons. How many of you can put your hand in the pocket and pull out a computer? There was an inventor by the name of Lee DeForest. He claimed that while theoretically and technically television may be feasible commercially and financially, it is impossible. And then there was the Decca Record Company that made just a little mistake in 1962 when they said, "We don't like this particular band's sound and guitar music is on the way out." They made that prediction about 4 lads from Liverpool called the Beatles. We make awful predictions when we only use our own limited perspective. The people of God whom Micah was speaking to were making some poor decisions as well. It was one of those rare times in the Old Testament when the people of God were thriving. Outside kingdoms were not threatening their borders. The northern and the southern kingdom were kind of working together for the first time in a while. Things were fairly peaceful, but change was coming. And in the face of the change, the upper classes started to act poorly when it came to matters of justice and mercy. They were turning away from their faith. They were instead relying upon their earthly goods and wealth to solve their problems, turning to other gods and idols to solve their problems. Right before our passage in the beginning of chapter 6 of Micah, the prophet sets this passage in the context of a heavenly trial. The people of God are on trial for their behavior, and the tension is high because they know they don't deserve justice and mercy. But God gives them another opportunity, an opportunity to make amends. And what are they to do? They are to do justice, they are to love mercy, and they are to walk humbly. Doesn't sound all that hard, does it? And yet fear and anxiety can make or can lead us away from all those ground baseline items of faith. The disciples, as I said before, are in a transition. They're in a transition in our passage from John. They are moving from being disciples of a beloved rabbi who has loved them and taught them many things. They have followed where he has led them. They have done the things that he has commanded. And yet, when that wonderful ministry, all those teachings, lead to a betrayal and lead to the cross, they run away. They hide behind locked doors for fear of the religious leaders and the political powers of the day. Then they hear this wonderful, crazy news from people they trust, from the women who had gone to the tomb, and then from Peter and John. And now, What are they to do? They know that Jesus is alive, but if Jesus is alive, as wonderful as that may be, what is going to happen now? When he needed them, they had run away. When they could have stood up for him, they had denied him. If he is alive, and what does the future hold for them? What if he doesn't love them anymore? What if, even worse, he's angry with them and he's coming to get them? I probably would have hidden too. Talk about an uncertain transition. But we know better, don't we? God is not a God of wrath, but a God of peace. God is not a God of hatred and vengeance, but a God of steadfast love and mercy and kindness. Jesus humbly comes amongst them, breathes peace, the precious breath of God upon them. He comes unlocking the doors of their hearts. He comes sending them to forgive as he has forgiven them. And you can almost hear the echoes of the prophet Micah's words as well. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly has a similar ring to it. A similar ring to forgive the sins of any, and they are forgiven them. And suddenly their fear is removed. It's replaced by a joy that will compel them to change the world. Their transition from a life of fear and dread to a life of joy and rejoicing takes them but an instant. Not all transitions are that quick. Pastoral searches can take months, sometimes more. Living into a new vision for the ministry of a church can take years and longer. There can be starts, there can be stops to each of these exciting endeavors, and there will be setbacks, there will be failures along the way. However, when the transitions are grounded in doing justice, in loving kindness, and walking humbly, you will be following in Jesus' footsteps. Brothers and sisters, we will join together in whatever time God has for us to spend together to do just those things. And God will hold the entire time in his loving hands. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in the aids to worship in the pew inserts. Let us affirm together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father. Make him to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, please be seated. As we turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer, do we have any? We have these pink sheets that have the people in our congregation and friends of the congregation that we like to pray for, but do we have any other prayer concerns this morning that anybody would like to share? It can be a joy or a sorrow or a concern. One thing you'll learn about me is I have no peripheral vision on my left side. So if you want to sucker punch me, just swing from this side. But also, I won't see you waving your hand unless you're over there, if you're over there.
Okay.
All right. If not, then let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Bringer of peace to the nations, we herald the good news. Christ is risen, and we are risen with him. We are delivered from thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, for we were dead in our sins, and Christ rescued us. Since Christ broke down walls of hostility that separated us from our brothers and sisters, we are saved to think of others with new appreciation for their gifts and talents. We are saved as part of your eternal plan for all of creation and united with your people everywhere in one holy communion. Blend this diverse gathering of believers into one family who confess one faith and one baptism. During this period of transition, make the peace of Christ give them the sinew that binds them together, the muscle that makes us strong to serve you, the bone that provides the structure for mission in this world. Keep us from petty rivalries, hasty judgments, and all factious elements of life that sap the body's strength. United in Christ, may we become your agents of reconciliation to the church. Where class and race cause hurtful distinctions, help us to proclaim the rainbow of your covenant promise. Where peoples contend with one another over conflicting ideologies, make us the mediators of their differences. In all that we do, breathe the Holy Spirit upon us so that we may stand united as brothers and sisters to the glory and praise of your holy name. As your disciples, O Lord, we bring to you our concerns. One of the blessed responsibilities and privileges we have is to pray for others. And we lift up to you all those on our prayer list. We pray for Charles and Lib, for Betty and Tim, for Bob and Mike, Tom, for the city of Danville's economy. We ask your blessings upon it. For those traveling this week especially, but all during the summer for vacation purposes. Lord, we give you thanks for the opportunity to be this church's interim pastor. And we ask that this relationship blossom and that we grow together as we await the next called pastor. We also lift up to you Claudine and Tim, Nelson and Diane, Martha Jo, Ella, Caden, all of our folks in nursing facilities, Ruth and Florine, Bill and Jean, Alice and Randy, Chris, Dale, Tom, Donna and Lois, Goldie and Linda. Lord, hear our prayers and bind us together as your people as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Thank you. Let us pray. O God, who sent Jesus making the nations his heritage, the ends of the earth his possession, all that we have is a gift of your love. Our wealth is measured by the mercy you have shown us. Even life itself is due to your grace. Entrusted by Jesus as stewards of your dominion, we come before you with the fruits of our labor. Accept them as signs of our gratefulness and use them to further your rule over all creation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And let us remain standing as we sing our final hymn, number 405, What Does the Lord Require?
Oh,
Please be seated. A couple of things. I've never been on the radio before, but I did want to, I forgot to greet the folks that are listening to us and worshiping with us on the radio, and we hope you enjoyed the service. Also, I wanted to thank Heather and the choir for putting up with me. I enjoy singing, but it's always a pleasure, and y'all did a wonderful job. Thank you for those musical offerings today. We now have our, but we'll have the benediction and the benediction response after the congregational meeting, but we have a congregational meeting for the exciting purpose of calling a pastor nominating committee. And CB, do we have a quorum? Where'd CB go? We do have a quorum, all right. And you'll be glad to serve as our secretary, I suppose. Good. So at this time, I'd like to turn the meeting over to Bernadine, as she's going to present our slate of officers, committee members.
The church nominating committee is charged with the opportunity to select the pastor nominating committee. The following members have agreed to serve on this committee, and I'll ask them to stand if they are here. I know several members are out of town on vacation this week. Harriet Beal, Lee Blunt, Tom Gillespie, Susan Mathena, Bob Newnham, David Paris, Joyce Perez.
Okay. You've heard the slate of officers presented by the nominating committee, but it's now time to open the floor for nominations from the floor. If you do nominate somebody, you better have talked to them. Do we have any nominations from the floor? All right, it's been made, our motion has been made to close the nominations and that we elect the pastor nominating committee as presented by acclamation. Is there a second? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying thank you.
Thank you.
Because there are all the thanks in the world goes out to those who have volunteered to be on a pastor nominating committee. Okay. All right, no other items of business. CB is going to read the minutes for us so that we can approve them.
Properly called congregational meeting held following worship service July 1st, 2018 to elect members of the pastor nominating committee. Meeting was opened with prayer by Reverend Dr. John McDonald, which we welcome you to the pulpit. The quorum was present. Chairman of the Presbyterian Church Officer Nominating Committee, Bernadine Hayes, presented the nominees. Had Beal, Lee Blunt, Tom Gillespie, Susan Mathena, Bob Newnham, David Parrish, and Joyce Perez. Floor was open. Nominations from the floor. There were none. Motion made, seconded, and passed to elect the nominees as presented. Claire, the meeting will be closed with prayer by Reverend Dr. John.
All right. Thank you. Okay, you've heard the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved as put forward. Okay.
Like for the nominees who were elected to appear in the chapel immediately following the music, and we'll reorganize for chairman, for secretary, and for treasurer. This is a new organization. It's not under session, it's just under congregation. And we thank each one who's going to serve.
Okay. So please meet back there with CB, and I'll get there as soon as I can. One of the things I do not know is where the minister goes to greet people. Do I go that way, or do I go out to that door? Either one? Okay. All right. Well, I'll go that way this week, and I'll go back that way this next week. All right. All right. If we're ready to close then, as I told you before, my go-to benediction is always that Micah 6 piece. And so, God has told you, O people, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Go and do likewise this day and always. Amen. Thank you.